Good morning. I want to talk to you about something very basic today. What's that?
I said that's going to be interesting.
Okay, we're going to get right to it, Rodney.
All right.
Might say we're going back to the basics, something all of us know about, but we're going to talk about it anyway because
That's all right. It
needs talked about. Prayer. We all know how important prayer is, right? Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. I thought about that this week. No truer words were ever spoken. You cannot be a Christian without prayer in your life because you have no connection to the one that gives you life here on this earth. You got to have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind every day. I want to look at the book of James, chapter 5, starting verse 13. We're going to go through 18. It says, if anyone among you, is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. In our passage this morning, James references Elijah the prophet. He gives us a power example of what God can do through people when we pray. To me, the prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting people in the Bible. God used him during an important time in Israel's history to oppose a wicked king and to bring revival to the land. And like most of us, Elijah was filled with contrasts. At times he was bold and decisive, and at other times he was fearful and tentative in his actions. Elijah experienced the power of God. And as we read about him, the depths of depression in his life. And James reminds us that Elijah was flesh and blood, a person just like us. Now, Elijah the prophet, his name means, my God is the Lord. He came into the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, when he suddenly appeared to challenge Ahab, an evil king who ruled the northern kingdom. Elijah prophesied for a drought, and Elijah's life was threatened. Being warned by God, Elijah hides in a brook and is fed by ravens. As the drought and the famine continue to grow in the land, Elijah meets a widow in a neighboring country. Through her obedience to Elijah's request, God fed him. The flour never ran out and the oil never dried up. The lesson for the believer there is that if we listen and we obey God and are in His will, all of our needs will be met. Next, we see Elijah in a showdown with the prophets of a false god, Baal, on Mount Carmel. The prophets called upon their God all day long to bring down fire. And of course, we know that never happened. And Elijah built an altar of stones, and then he digs a ditch around it. He puts a sacrifice on top of the wood, then adds water to it 3 times. He calls on the power of God, and God brings down his fire and burns it all up. The sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and dries up all the water. God proved that he was more powerful than the false gods. I'm telling you that because I want you to understand today That same power that was available to the prophet Elijah is available to us today. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, it's the same God in those days that we have today, and his power has never changed. But we have to be like Elijah. We have to be willing to talk to God, to understand God, and be close to him. Elijah's illustration is not the person. It's God working through that person because they're obedient and they have faith. And after the great victory over them false prophets, the people repented and turned back to God. Elijah prayed, and once again, rain fell on the earth. And I want to remind you again that Elijah, a great prophet that he was, he struggled with the typical human frailties that we have. And just like all of us, he was used by the mighty God, and you can be too. And James used that illustration to point out to us what is possible through prayer, what can be accomplished. I'm going to ask four questions and answer them this morning. The first one, what is prayer? The second one, why should we pray? The third one, when should we pray? And the fourth one, how should we pray? That's pretty simple, basic Christian stuff, right? Then why do we forget it so often? Why do we skip it in our busy schedules? Overlook it. James 5:13 asked, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So what is prayer? You all know that, right? Prayer is communication between us and God Almighty. It's the process that allows us to talk to God. It's our direct line to heaven. Have you stopped and thought about that? Especially you mature Christians. Do you think about prayer being communication? Or do you think about it just be sending your requests up to heaven? Prayer is communication like a person-to-person call. You're all familiar with cell phones and how important they've become in most of our lives. It's a necessity for a modern society. And our means of communication allow two people to talk to each other. And prayer is our device just like that. Is our communication directly to our Heavenly Father. It can involve giving Him praise and thanks, maybe intercession for others, maybe asking for our own needs to be met, maybe confessing our sins, or just simply asking God for guidance. It can involve us asking God to perform mighty things, mighty acts in our lives, or maybe, just maybe, it can involve just a conversation where you don't ask for anything. It's just a time to sit and talk. To put it simply, communication or prayer is our communication to God. So why should we pray? Well, the most important thing is because God says so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Is it possible to pray without ceasing? Really? I think it is. God commands us to. But you can always have that in your mind. Everything that you can do can be in prayer, and it should be in prayer. We need to pray. Luke 18:1 says, then he spoke a parable to them, that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. And he on to relate a parable about the need for them to pray always. God says we should pray. Just like our fathers or our mothers here on this earth, they want to talk to their children. God wants to talk to you. He wants to know what is on your heart. He wants you to express it yourself. He wants communication. It should be as important to us as eating. None of us are ever going to think without going without food, are we? I imagine some of you right here, right now, are thinking about what you're going to have for lunch when I get done talking. Matter of fact, some of us like food so much we overindulge. And without enough food, our body grows weak and eventually will die. And I want you to think about your prayer life and have that very same approach. We ought to develop the attitude that if I don't hear from God, I'm going to wither up inside and die. Without consistent prayer, that's exactly what's going to happen to you spiritually. Your spirit's going to wither up and die because you don't have communication with the one that gave you life. You don't have communication with the one that gives you instructions and helps you through the rough times. For a Christian, prayer isn't an option, and it's not something we can take or leave. It's a necessity. Prayer is powerful and effective. James 5:16 said, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Prayer is power, simply put. There's nothing else in this world for a believer any more powerful than prayer. When believers start to earnestly pray, the enemy trembles because he knows the power that is available to us through prayer. I want you to think about that a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying about the power that is available to you? Satan's always messing with us. And the power of prayer, we can turn him away. You have no strength of your own, but the Spirit of God does. And that's where your strength comes from, to resist the devil. That's where the strength comes from, to overcome those obstacles in your life. Just think about the power that you can unleash when you're connected to God through prayer. The reason we have so many powerless Christians is we have so many prayerless Christians. And the same thing for the churches. We have powerless churches because we have prayerless churches and church members. The power of God is made available through prayer. And it's prayer that makes a difference. The next question was, when should we pray? John gives us those examples. In 5:13, he says we should pray when we are suffering. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. He's referring to here of suffering any kind, such as sickness, bereavement, disappointment, persecutions, the loss of your health, loss of your property. You know, later he's going to specifically address sickness, but it's all part of the suffering in general. Many times I've established the fact that in our lives we're all going to face difficult times. We can't escape that. It's when we're going through those times that James tells us we should pray. This is the kind of prayer where you bear your soul to God. You call on Him to intercede in your behalf. You know, as much as we hate to admit it, as men, we hate to admit that we're weak. We hate to admit that we have a need. There's something that we can't overcome by sheer force of our own will. But what James is talking about here, turn to God in prayer. Let God be the strength. Let God be the power. Lamentations 3:55 says, "I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit." He's telling us, turn to God, not to your fellow man. They can get advice, but they can't give you the power, the spiritual power that you need. What should we ask of God in those times of difficulty? First, personally, I believe that it's okay to ask God to remove the suffering. Psalm 50:15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." God tells us to call upon him in the days of our trouble, and I will deliver you. Now you need to know that that deliverance may not be always what you think it should be. There may be time when God chooses not to remove the source of your suffering. In those times, we have to recognize that God has a greater purpose for our lives, a greater accomplishment through our suffering for his good, for his glory. In those times, we should seek his strength to endure the problems that we're facing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10, it says, "Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" No matter what difficulties you're facing in your life, no matter what you think the outcome should be, the solution to your problem, you need to seek out the Lord through your prayers and listen and allow him to work in your situation for his good and for his glory, because his strength is sufficient for you. Also in James in verse 13, it says, we should sing praises when we are cheerful. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. He tells us what to do in the difficult times. Now he tells us what to do in the good times. And I believe for most Christians, this is one area of your prayer life where you fall short. We don't have any difficulty on remembering to call on God in our times of suffering or strife. But oftentimes we forget to communicate the joy in our life to God. He wants to hear from you, even in the good times. So let us be a people of praise. We should take every opportunity, whether we're in this church, whether at home, or whether we're in public, to praise our Heavenly Father and thank him for all the blessings that he's poured out on our life. And you know, if the truth be told, even in our times of suffering, those times that we think we're facing problems, if we really look, we'll still see God's blessings in our life. He told us in verses 14 and 15 that we should call on the church elders. It says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Now, James deals with sickness as a separate issue from suffering. But we all know that sickness sometimes is a major cause of suffering in our lives. It affects the spirit and the soul of the person. And sickness not only affects the one person, it affects everyone in their circle. When someone in this church family is sick, it affects us all. We have concern for Ron this morning as he's healing up and the pain that he's in, and the others that are sick. We have concern for them. Now, James tells us what we should do if we're sick. He said, "The person who is sick has a responsibility to call for the elders of the church and to make their needs known." And I believe this. If you're sick, it's your responsibility to let the church know. So many times people have said to me, "I was sick and no one called. No one came to visit. Well, you know, I don't know that you're sick unless someone tells me. You have to call. And I know sometimes that people are private about their affairs. They don't want to share certain things. But it's a demonstration of faith if you'll reach out to the elders, to the deacons of the church, to anyone of your church family and share, I need your prayers. I need lifted up because right now I'm sick and I need your help. It goes down to that old thing about pride again, doesn't it? We don't want to admit we can't do it on our own. But we can't know you need prayers if you don't share that fact with us. And did you notice in this verse, God puts a greater responsibility on the elders? More responsibility than he did the sick person. Because the elders, he commands them to be the ones who pray in faith. And as elders of the church, we are the ones who must have the greatest faith. You have to pray in faith, believing that God hears. And once we do these things, once we pray and we lift them up, God will do his part. We pray when we're suffering. We sing praises when we're cheerful. We call on the elders or the people of the church to come and pray with us. So that just about covers every facet of our day as a Christian. So the answer to our question is when we should pray, and the answer is easy. The answer is always and without ceasing. Next question was, how do we pray? The first thing you need to know is I'm not talking about the physical posture, whether you pray standing up with your hands raised up or you pray sitting or kneeling with your face to the floor. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about a specific time that you pray, morning, noon, or night. But I do believe you need to have a consistent time and place where you pray, and one that works best for you. Some people are early morning risers, and you can hop out of bed and you can get into an attitude of prayer and you can have a conversation with God. Now, I know some people that can barely make it to the coffee pot to get their first cup of coffee before they begin to function. Then there's others that nighttime works best for them. So what I'm saying right now is to find the best time that works for you, the best place that works for you, and become consistent in your prayer life. But more than that, I want to urge you today to be open to God at all times for communication. You never know when he's going to speak to you. But if you're driving down the road in the car, don't close your eyes when you pray back to answer that prayer. At least pull off the side first. Now, I know someone that's a great prayer going down the road in his truck, because we do it all the time. But I'm sure he has, Bluetooth for his phone. We should pray with faith and with confidence. And for our prayers to be effective, we have to pray in faith. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we pray in faith, we have an assurance that he hears us. And that should give us confidence in our prayer. This one verse right here says he rewards those who diligently seek him. That doesn't mean I'm going to get my way all the time. That tells me that he's going to hear and he's going to respond every time I pray. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Pray with faith and confidence that God hears you. Open up that line of communication. But when you hold on to this verse from 1 John, I want to caution you. It says, we ask anything according to his will. Don't pray for a Porsche and expect it unless it's his will for you to have a Porsche. And also, we should pray with worship and reverence. Psalm 99:5 says, exhort the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Matthew 6:9-10 says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray in the right attitude, with reverence and worship of the one who created us. We have to remember who we're calling on. Take it seriously. He's the Almighty God, the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that every knee will bow to in heaven. Some people think he's a cosmic Santa Claus that's going to give us all of our wishes. He's not a genie that grants whatever we wish for. He's God. And he should be revered and bowed before. When you go to him in prayer, you need to have the right attitude in your heart. We should pray for each other. John 5:16 said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I want you to know that I pray for each and every one of you every day. I happen to do it in my office, sitting in my chair in front of my computer screen. And I have a list. I take one of those prayer lists home. Well, actually, I don't take it from here. I have it on my computer. But I go down that list and have a specific prayer every day for the people on that list. And I pray for every one of the church members and my family and the issues that are going on in the day, because I believe in my heart that God hears me. I have the faith to know that he'll answer every prayer in his time and in his way. In John chapter 17, Jesus gives us examples of what we can pray for. This is what he prayed for his followers, that they would remain strong in the faith, that they would have joy in the midst of the world's hatred and opposition to them. They would have protection against the attacks of Satan, sanctification for the believers, and unity for all believers. If that list is good enough for Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me. I may not use those same words every day, but I pray the same things for each of you. And I hope you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ every day. He prayed for his disciples and for every generation that would follow after him. He prayed that God would protect and strengthen them as long as they were in this world. He prayed for those that would come to believe in him through the gospel message. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. Be in an attitude of prayer. So, how's your prayer life today? Are you praying in faith and confidence? Are you walking in the power of God that's made available to you through prayer? If not, why not? There's a decision to be made today. I believe it's God's will for each one of you to experience his power that comes through prayer. He's made it available to all of us, but it's your choice. I call on us to be a people of prayer, filled with God's power. And with that power, we can make a difference in the lives of those around us. Not just here in this setting this morning, but those around us in our neighborhoods, in our town, in our families. We can be that influence. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for the message that you laid on my heart. A reminder one more time of the power of prayer and your desire to have a conversation with your children. Your desire to have us draw closer to you as we read your word and we pray and we understand you more and more each day. Father, please help us to understand the power of prayer and your desires for us. As we pray, Father, I just ask that you would reveal your will for each one of us and for the life of this church. Father, I just ask that you would pour your blessings out on all those represented here today as we come and we seek you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.